This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of June 13th, 2011. Well, as predicted last week, the signs of summer were upon us, and thankfully the heat broke in time before catastrophic losses occurred. That said, the incredibly high ET demand as the sun approaches the highest point in the sky exposed any weak root systems, and I would expect that to continue for the next few weeks. Be mindful of your weak spots, and if irrigation is available, be sure to supply uniformly and timely. An excellent discussion occurred with Pam Charbonneau from Canada about the pesticide ban, and contrary to medic concerns, there has been acceptance and innovation that has helped the lawn care industry expand services to clients. Welcome news to an industry being hit hard with concerns of pesticide bans. And finally, herbicide and insect damage is visible in the landscape currently. The weather, another above normal week with most about three above normal. Growing degree days are within 10 days of last year's record heat along the coast and about 7 days upstate. Southern New Jersey and South are actually equal to last year, so they're on pace for a warm season. We are now about a week ahead of the 15-year average region-wide, soils in the low to mid-70s to the north and touching 80s to the south. A mostly dry week as far as rainfall goes and a very dry week as far as ET is concerned. Most areas received a half an inch of rain, but ET was at a max of an inch and a half to the south and most of the rest about an inch and a quarter. That's almost 2/10 of an inch of water lost per day. Some slight cooling will lead to increased dollar spot risk region-wide, and as week progresses, brown patch and pythium risk will increase from south to north with high nighttime temperatures. And the forecast for the coming week, a showery period to start the week, followed with below normal temps and then increasing temps and spotty rainfall by the end of the week. Expect normal highs in the 70 to 80 range and lows in the 50 to 60 range. Long-term model seeing a ridge develop in the west, bringing us above normal temps in the 10 to 14 day outlook. Check out the weather maps, weed irrigation, growth, and disease models at the forecast website. A fairly lengthy Cornell Cooperative Extension report around the region begins with our Western New York report from Walt Nelson. Dollar spot and leaf spot, some droughty, unirrigated sites are expressing early signs of dormancy. Black medic exploded in the last week, clover is in full flower, and the emerald ash borer adults are emerging. The Eastern Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik. Due to the extended warm, dry weather, traditional dry spots and lawns are starting to turn brown. I've also noticed areas in local lawns taking on a blue cast, which is an early indication of drought stress. Many brown areas and sod farms due to the heat and lack of rain have been noticed. A line of strong thunderstorms moved across Suffolk County with rainfall totals of around a quarter inch to slightly over an inch have been seen. It'd be wise to check your local rain gauges and also soil moisture areas to see how these storms affected your area. Annie Senesak, our extension weed specialist for Suffolk County, has observed that compared to most years, it seems this year, that there are fewer and smaller crabgrass plants. Clover flowers have become more numerous in lawns this week. True armyworms, not the fall armyworm, were found in high numbers in a mown rye cover crop at the Long Island Horticultural Research and Extension Center in Riverhead, and were seen elsewhere. It is a native insect which prefers grasses. There have been heavy infestations in the past in wheat, Sudan grass, sorghum, and even home lawns. Keep an eye out for these caterpillars, especially if a lawn adjoins a field with such crops. The Westerners report from Jerry Giordano and Rick Harper. Local lawns looking green despite dry conditions and intense heat. One landscaper experienced outright death of new turf in overseeded areas due to thatch accumulation of an inch and three quarters, causing moisture stress. Total renovation will be in order come late summer. A golf course superintendent near northerly parts of the county reports annual bluegrass weevil is mostly fourth and fifth instar and pupal stages with possible earlier signs instars also present. Severe herbicide injury on Norway spruce due to overapplication of 2,4-D observed on a recent site visit. Pruning injured shoots should eliminate the problem. The Capital report from David Chinnery. Conditions in the Capital District have been very dry with many turf areas showing drought stress and some going into dormancy. Calls and emails about dieback and needle cast of white pine, red pine, and spruce. We've also seen dieback on arborvitae and firs related to last year's drought. A Central New York update from Rick Burstall. Had a few lawn concerns early in the week. Couple of the folks who fertilized after the holiday weekend during the hot, dry weather noticed some burning on the sunnier areas where they applied fertilizer. I asked whether they watered it in. They said the product said it didn't need to be watered in, and rain was predicted anyway, although it never happened. I wonder whether the turf will recover in these areas or should try to reseed in this late in the season. The turf will recover in those areas as the fertilizer leaches through, and there may be some reseeding necessary. And finally, the Adirondack report from Emily Selleck. Crane fly sample had no markings other than narrow band, whereas the invasive species have. I did not think it was either of the invasive species. Golf turf's biggest problem this year seems to be moisture and lack of drainage and grubs. Other than the disheartening chartreuse of nascent crabgrass along roadsides and in weak areas and lawns, not too much going on in turf. In the landscape, we are seeing anthracnose in maple and oak, and I've seen some gypsy moth caterpillar damage and some new plantings of a Norway maple. The USGA update from our old friend Jim Skorulski, senior agronomist with the USGA's Northeast region. Dollar sprot and fusarium at the same time, that's unusual. Lance and stunt nematodes are beginning to cause some problems. High counts have led to patchy symptoms on bentgrass. The symptoms occurred prior to real hot weather with no other significant stress. A lot of grass on greens from the wet weather and some cases inability to top dress and verticut due to wet conditions last month. A weed update from Randy Prostack, University of Massachusetts. Now's the time to be looking for any nutsedge plants that are invading and consider making the application of sedge hammer, halosulfuron. Research conducted by Steve Hart at Rutgers University concluded that overall, single applications of dismiss, which is not labeled in New York State, and certainty may provide moderate levels of yellow nutsedge control in turf depending on rate and year. However, sequential treatments, June plus July, of these herbicides at medium to high rates may provide high levels of nutsedge control comparable to that of single and sequential applications of sedgehammer in perennial ryegrass. Certainty will also control tall fescue and Kentucky bluegrass turf. In the end, it appears that sedgehammer remains the best option for turf managers interested in nutsedge control at this time. Diagnostic update from Rich Buckley, Rutgers University. Hockey pucks. The signal of summer predicted last week are beginning to manifest themselves as the signs of poor rooting, and hockey puck cup samples are streaming into the lab. This is both the result of poor rooting conditions this spring as well as very high ET demand this week. There actually were a few samples that had received summer patch preventative applications that are showing significant amounts of hyphae along the roots. It appears then that if you have an area with a history of summer patch problems, you must begin to intervene now with curative controls and take whatever steps that are reasonably possible to reduce stress. The good news is that the heat broke, especially nighttime temps, and this seemed to reduce overall pressure on annual bluegrass. An update on the Canadian pesticide ban from our friend Pam Charbonneau, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture turf grass specialist from the Guelph Turf Grass Institute. A pesticide ban was enacted in Ontario, Canada, that went into effect in the spring of 2009. This ban effectively removed all traditional pesticides from being used on home lawns and municipal grounds. Golf courses were exempt from the ban but are currently following very stringent IPM plans that involve enormous amounts of paperwork and educational certification. The biggest surprise from my perspective so far is how people do not seem to be bothered by the ban any longer. Homeowners have come to accept the weed issues in the early spring, and now that most of the dandelion flowers have been mown off, the lawn looks great from the curb. The other interesting surprise from the industry perspective is that most companies have been able to remain successful through the ban by offering additional cultural practices, such as aeration, overseeding, more regular fertilization. There appears to be recognition that without pesticides, there's greater need for supplemental culture to enhance the health of the lawn and avoid the need from pesticides. A note about pesticides alternatives. The lack of access to traditional materials has spurred interest in alternative products such as high rates of sulfate for selective weed control, which is found in a Fiesta herbicide sold by the Scotts Company, corn gluten meal, and nematodes for grubs. Of these, the Fiesta seems to have achieved a moderate levels of success. From research at Guelph, it appears that 2 to 3 applications during the spring into summer can provide significant selective control of broadleaf weeds. In fact, the data indicate complete control of narrowleaf plantain is possible with a single application. The challenge is ahead. While there have been some successes with products such as Fiesta, others such as Serator, biological weed control, and the use of nematodes for grub control have not been as successful. In fact, grubs still remain a major problem, and most are having to reestablish areas after severe damage. There's growing interest in endophytic grasses from surface feeding insect, but still, this is slow to be adopted. My gazing in the grass update begins with annual bluegrass weevil chewing away, and the hard copy version has an excellent picture of this. The increased ED demand ET demand combined with poor rooting conditions are exacerbating any weaknesses you may have with annual bluegrass weevil pressure. There are obvious signs of feeding damage from the larvae, especially in the areas with higher percentage of annual bluegrass along fairway perimeters and collar regions. These areas also tend to suffer from non-uniform irrigation patterns and therefore are plants under stress and now further compromised due to aggressive feeding. It might be a good time to begin seeding operations. It is likely the plants are already beyond recovery and to avoid large dead patches. And a note about herbicide damage to spruce and fir. There are widespread reports of herbicide damage to spruce and fir trees thought to be associated with the application of phenoxy-like herbicides. The injury looks like some form of epinasty and exhibiting growth-regulating damage. And a nice picture of this, again, from Jerry Giordano, is found in the newsletter. The issue seems to be movement of soil-active compounds in large volumes of water this spring and also the high ET demand recently and finally lush new growth susceptible to injury. Take extra care if still using products with soil activity at this time and read the labels carefully. Thank you for joining me for this weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.